Thank you, Brother James. We're very thankful for this precious opportunity to meet together with the saints of the Lord. Very much appreciate the prayer that's been offered, and we would ask each one of you to pray for us during this time that we look into God's holy word. If you have your Bible with you this evening and you'd like to read along with us, I would like to start with a portion of scripture in Psalm 32, verses 1 through 2, and we're going to look at one particular word in verse 1 and in verse 2, and there's several other scriptures in the throughout the Psalms that we're going to look at, as I want us to consider, when the happy people in the Lord, this found in the book of Psalms, the happy people in the Lord. Psalms 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no guile. In both those verses, we find a word that's found throughout Scripture. It's the word blessed. But just as many other words in the Bible, the word blessed must be kept in proper context and how it's used in each verse. You know, there's sometimes you find the word blessed in the Old Testament, in the Bible, and it is referring to the Lord. You know, like Psalms chapter 72 and verse 18, when it makes reference to, you know, blessed is the Lord God that doeth wondrous things. You know, that particular verse there is not saying we're able to bless God and give unto him. I'm not able to give God anything. I mean, he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the gold of Ophir. I mean, God owns my little house here in North Carolina. He's just allowed me to live in it for a while. But the text is referring to us being able to declare God to be blessed. God is blessed. He's a blessed God. He's the blessed God of this universe. He's the sovereign ruler that's over all things. Sometimes we find the word blessed in the Bible is referring to an individual on this earth that's been blessed by the eternal sovereign God. Like Psalms chapter 65 and verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach into thee. That man that's been chosen by God and caused to approach unto the Lord, that is a blessed man. And I love that. It didn't say blessed is the plan. It said blessed is the man. God chose his people before the foundation of the world and loved them and all those that God loved. They're blessed people. And praise God, because they're blessed of the Lord, one day they'll enjoy all the rich blessings of heaven. Sometimes we find the word blessed in the Bible is referring to the blessed people of God that are enjoying the blessings of the Lord in their experience. In this particular portion of scripture we read, we're reading about an individual that's not only blessed of God, but he's blessed in his experience to enjoy those blessings of the Lord. This particular word blessed here is referring to the happiness and joy we experience in the knowledge of those blessings. You know, this word blessing, this particular verse of scripture is translated 18 times throughout the Old Testament. It's just the word happy. You know, there in Psalms 127 and verse 5, when David gives us the keys to parenting. If you want to know something about parenting, I would say memorize Psalms 127. There in verse 5, it says, happy is the man whose quiver is full. Happy is the man whose quiver is full. I told someone with louder milk kids that usually didn't take me. About 2 or 3 is about all you can take in your quiver. But happy is the man whose quiver is full. You remember there in Psalms 144, there about verse 15, when David goes through prospering Zion, and he says, happy is the people that are in such a case. Happy is the people whose God the Lord is. That's the same word as this word blessed. Even Solomon there in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. That's the same word as this word here in Psalms chapter 32. Now we know that a man whose sins have been forgiven, we know that a man who has forgiveness of sins before the eternal judge of this universe, that man is a blessed man. He is a blessed individual because in order for us to have forgiveness of sins, it took the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by what he has done on the cross of Calvary. By that we have forgiveness of sin. I think it was in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have forgiveness of sins before the eternal judge of this universe because of what Jesus done for us on the cross. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 is he that has loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. Notice he didn't wash us and then start to love us. No, he loved us, and because he loved us, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. I love the text there in Ephesians 4 verse 32, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And it's for Christ's sake that we have forgiveness of sins. But brothers and sisters, it's important for us to realize, important for us to know, grasp, that a person is able to have forgiveness of sins, to be redeemed, born again children of God, and still be miserable in their experience. How is that possible, Brother Ronnie? By them not knowing and understanding the forgiveness of sins that they have in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 9, he says this, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. This particular verse, I've always took it right to Acts chapter 9, where the Lord struck down Saul of Tarsus. And this man, Saul of Tarsus, showed no evidence of grace in his life until this moment, this instant here in Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus was an elect child of God before the foundation of the world, but in his life, he was dead in sins. And it was the Lord that came and called and spoke life into him. And the Bible said that he didn't see or eat for 3 days. Wow, how is that for sick of sins? Has your wrongs ever come upon you to the point where you're just sick at your stomach? Have you ever done something wrong? You're just sick at your stomach. Yeah, I made some mistakes in my life, and just pondering about the mistake would just make me sick at my stomach over and over. Brother, sister, sin will make you sick at your stomach. Sin will get you a point like David would say in Psalms chapter 40, verse 12, I'm not able to look up. They'll cause you to hang your head low. Sorrows of this world and the sorrow of sin will cause you to hang your head low. You know, there's a lot of born-again children of God that are in this world that have forgiveness of sins. They are born again. And as my daddy used to say, they're heaven-bought, heaven-bound, and hell-proof. They're not going to go to hell. Now, if one of them went to hell, God would tear hell apart to get them out. But they are miserable in their experience because they do not understand and do not know in their experience what Jesus has done for them on the cross. David, when he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. This word covered is in a context like someone would go to a restaurant and eat a big meal and get ready to pay for it, and they found out someone else had already paid for it, and they said, that is covered. Blessed is that man that understands all of his sins were covered on the cross of Calvary by the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you in my life and in my experience, I can look back in my life and I can see the evidence of grace in my life now, all the way back when I was 8 and 9 years old. But there was a long period of time in my life I did not understand, and I was a miserable child of God. But I remember the day I heard the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that helped me do some self-inventory to see the evidence of grace, to understand why I felt the way I felt. And when that happened to me, it was a great and happy day for my life. And I remember when I joined the church, I'm like Elder Gary Hall said, I slept somewhere between the sheets of heaven. I was so happy. At that moment, I enjoyed justification by faith. According to Paul there in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, I had a moment that I took my eye of faith and I looked into heaven and saw my standing before God by what Jesus had done for me. And that was a happy time in my life. My prayer is that every child of God could enjoy that happiness that you can enjoy and be just that blessed state, that happy and joyous state. You know, if we don't have anything else to be happy about and rejoice in, we can rejoice in that knowledge that our names are written in heaven. I remember Jesus said that in Luke chapter 10. He said, rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. And brothers and sisters, they were written in heaven before the foundation of the world. We are graven in the hands of God, and it's Jesus Christ that's died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, not in part, but the whole. And it's that home in heaven that is ours, and that knowledge that we have of that is enough that we should be happy the rest of our lives and live our lives and smile no matter what happens in this world. This world will give you enough to cause you to be sad. The problems of this world will make you sad. But I want to tell you the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ about salvation. You understanding it is yours, that you are his, and he is yours, and you are his, is enough to make you happy, and you can smile all the day long. You know, that's something nobody can take from me. You know, the government could take so much from me. They could take our home. They can take our liberties. They could even take your life. But I tell you what, they can't take that from you. They cannot take that eternal salvation we have in Christ Jesus from us. And I can rejoice in that no matter where I'm at in this world. I can rejoice in the dark valley. I can rejoice on the hill. And anywhere in between, I can rejoice and be happy in that. If you'll turn with me over to Psalms 34, verse 8, we find some other happy people in the Bible. Here we found a happy person that understands his sins is forgiven. Psalms 34, verse 8, David is here in the cave of Adullam. And if you recall, there was about 400 that came to him. They were in debt, discontented, and distressed. And they came to David, and David spoke to them from the cave. And in verse 8, David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in God. Happy and joyous is the man. The man that's been blessed to be able to believe and trust in God, he exercises that trust. That man is a happy man. Do you believe there's happiness in trusting in the world? Is there happiness in trusting in yourself? Brother Ken mentioned earlier a text there in Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7 of those who would trust in chariots, those who would trust in horses. He said, we will remember the name of the Lord. There's no joy in trusting in princes. There's no joy in trusting in horses. Why? Men in this world will let you down. Psalms 118, verse 7 and 8, it's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in princes. It's better. Why is it better? Because God will never let you down. Romans chapter 9, verse 33, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. What does that mean? That means you're never going to hang your head and be ashamed if you trust in God. I used to love what Elder Raymond Lord would say. You know, if you put your trust in God and believing in him and the resurrection the last day, he said, you know, when the Lord appears in the clouds the last day, he said, no one's going to be disappointed. We're all going to say, wow, it's bigger than I ever dreamed. You know why? The Lord will never let you down. You can trust in God all that you want to, and you'll be happy trusting in the Lord. You know, Jeremiah compared two individuals in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 and verse 8 and 9. He compared the man that trusted in man. Cursed is the man that trusted in man. There's no happiness in trusting in man. Over and over again throughout Scripture, man lets people down. And you know what? It's going to happen over and over again. Men are going to let you down. You know, sometimes you get so tickled, you know, there'll be a government election come up and everybody get excited. We got a government election. Well, it won't take long. They'll find out he's just another government official. He's a politician. Somebody trusting someone else over here, we're going to trust them. They'll let you down. And you've been just miserable trusting in everything but the Lord. But when you put your trust in the Lord, there's happiness and joy in that. The Bible said, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Man, I tell you, that's a perfect, that's great peace, perfect peace. How much better can you get than perfect peace? I mean, that man that's got his eyes fixed to the Lord, that man that's trusting God, that is a happy and joyous man. Okay, we'll find another happy person in the Bible. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 1, if you're studying this, I've always enjoyed breaking this down in three parts. First of all, I look at the man that's blessed of God, the man that's blessed of God that's a blessing to others, and then finally, a man that's a blessing to nobody. You know, when David writes, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. That's a man blessed of God. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a man that's blessed of God, that's a blessing to others. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. That's a man that's a blessing to nobody. But that verse 1 right there makes reference to a man that's blessed of God, that is actually enjoying and is happy in those blessings. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let me ask you, have you ever met a happy person that walks in the counsel of the ungodly? And I remember when David and I were little there in Georgia, I got David in some trouble. I told him to do something. I kind of thought it was the wrong thing to do, but I thought I'll let him give it a try. So David went ahead and did it. Well, Danny was all upset. I asked David, why'd you do it? He said, Ronnie told me to do it. And Danny quoted this verse. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He said, there's no happiness but misery, and follow what Ronnie just told you to do. How many people are in the world, how many children of God are in the world are following the counsel of the ungodly and are missing out on a lot of happiness? You know where you can get some counsel? Some godly counsel at the house of God, listening to the gospel. I mean, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. There is one book that we've got that has a multitude of counselors. We also have good counselors at the house of God. And following the good counsel of God, I mean, there's a lot of happiness in that. You know, I've recently been approached by a couple. They wanted me to perform a wedding for them. And when I talk to them, I'm going to tell them, look, you need to make sure in your marriage you always get good counsel. Don't go to the world. Go to the Bible. Go to godly people. You know, come to people at the house of God that has been married for years and years. You know, if I need some help about marriage, I go to the Bible and I go to examples in the house of God. If you go to the world, I mean, the world don't even know anything about marriage. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. I mean, there's no happiness, no joy standing in the way of sinners. A lot more joy standing in the way with God's people. You know, I can tell you this, when I joined the church and became part of the church didn't need me, but I need the church. And me standing and spending time with God's people has been a blessing to me, and it's given me a lot of happiness in life. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, I've asked a lot of people this. Anybody ever met a happy scorner? Raise your hand if you met a happy scorner. You ever met a happy scorner? I haven't ever met a happy scorner. All scorners do is trying to find something wrong with everybody and trying to accuse everybody, saying he's miserable. And the more time you spend with someone like that, I mean, the worse it's going to be for you. It's like Mark Twain said about fools. He said, don't ever argue with a fool. He said, he'll pull you down to his level and whip you with experience. Don't spend time with scorners. They'll take your happiness away from you. Blessed is the man, happy is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That is a happy man. Turn with me now to Psalm chapter 92. Actually, Psalms 94. Psalms 94, verse 12. Here's another happy person. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that thou chasteneth. You know, I read this verse today, and I thought about something that's often said when parents begin to discipline their children. You know, sometimes they'll say, it's going to hurt me worse it's going to hurt you. You know, my daddy never told me that, because he knew it was going to hurt me worse than it hurt him. Someone told me once, you should never discipline your children when you're mad. I told him, I said, my daddy was mad every time he whipped me. But you know, my daddy told me, he said, look, son, I'm never disciplined you. He said, to make me love you more. He said, I discipline you so that the world could put up with you a little better. And my daddy disciplined me because he loved me. And that's scriptural. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. You know, the Bible says that the Lord chastens those that he loved. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know, if the Lord chastens us, and I've said this many times, if God chastens his children, you'll know it. You know, our Father in heaven is by far and beyond a better father than any of us have ever been. Better father than any natural father we've had on this earth. And I want to tell you, my daddy never disciplined me when I didn't know why he was going to discipline me. I mean, he just didn't come swinging just to be swinging. No, I knew what was going on. And I've said this many times, people come to me and say, you know, I think the Lord's chasing me. I said, I think the Lord will let you know if he's chasing me. I said, he loves you that much. You know, sometimes we just have trouble in this world because we live in a broken world, okay? I mean, the Bible says the race is not always to the swift, neither the battle of the strong, but time and chance happen to us all. We have a lot of trouble just because we live in a troubled world. That does not mean the Lord is chastening you. But if you've experienced the Lord's chastening in your life, it's just evidence that he loves you. And we should be happy. And you know what our response should be? Our response should be to bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We shouldn't despise the chastening of God. We shouldn't faint at the chastening hand of God. You know, someone that despises the chastening hand of God, they're not a happy person. They don't have a high regard for the Lord's chastening of them. They become bitter and not better. Someone that faints, just saying, oh, I can't take it. I give up. When we should have an enduring spirit and persevering, and that word persevering is a good word if it's kept in proper context. We should persevere and thank God for the chastening hand. The proper response to God's chastening is bringing forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness and be happy that the Lord loves us enough to chasten us to get us back on the right road in our life. So blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. All right, finally, we're going to look at another text that's found over in Psalms chapter 112. In Psalms chapter 112, we're going to find another happy person. And it's in verse 1. David writes by inspiration of spirit, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commands. David is saying a man is a happy man that's living his life obeying the Lord. There's a lot of fellowship that's enjoyed in just obeying the Lord. Have you ever thought about the prodigal son? You know, the prodigal son, he was his father's son when he was down there with the pigs. But how much happiness did he have down there with the pigs? When he had a fain to eat the husk, the swine did eat. There's no happiness in that. I mean, it's probably the most embarrassing moment of his life. No happiness, no joy in it. Happiness was found when he come back home and his father received him and had the huge feast and they all rejoiced and that son that was dead was alive again and that fellowship. Brothers and sisters, there is happiness found in obeying the Lord. And the hymn that we used before the preaching portion of the service, oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey. Have you ever experienced sadness when you were doing right and just following the Lord in obedience? Not me. I've always enjoyed the most happiness in my life when I was just laboring to follow the Lord. Listen, brothers and sisters, I failed a lot in my life. There's been a lot of times in my life I have not done what I should have done. But I have had moments in my life when God was merciful to me and blessed me to do the right thing. The day I joined the church, the first day I tried to exercise in the ministry, I mean, those things were times that I felt like I pleased God. And in those times, man, I tell you, those were happy times in my life. How many of you have been in the house of God and the Lord would bless in such a way you knew you were in the right place and it was just a happy time and your experience? And how many times you've been in the wrong place in your life? You were just absolutely miserable in your experience. I remember years ago, I was in a meeting down in South Georgia and Elder Raymond Ward was preaching. And I made reference to this Sunday at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church. Brother Raymond said that there was a little boy that went up in the mountains and found an eagle's nest. And that eagle's nest had two eagle eggs in it. And before the eagle come back, the boy took those two eagle eggs and took them back home and put them under his mama's Dominecker. And that Dominecker set those eagle eggs. Well, when the little Dominecker biddies hatched, the eagles hatched too. And those eagles didn't even know. They thought they was just little Dominecker chicks. And Brother Raymond said those eagles just walked around there in all the dirt and the mud eating worms, just that dirt, mud all over their wings, walking around with them little Dominecker biddies, just walked around there not knowing that they had great wings that they could fly above all the mud and the worms of this world. You know, when Brother Raymond said that, I said, man, that is me. That is me, Brother Raymond. How many times in my life can I look back and see that I was actually an eagle, but I was just walking around in all the mud and the worms? But praise God, the Lord in his mercy blessed me and had mercy for me. And I've had times that I believe the Lord has took me up and I've flown above all the worms and the mud of this earth. And those times are enjoyed more and more when you obey God and follow his commandments. May God richly bless you. Is our prayer.